Tony. So if you get a chance, say hi to him.
And I see some other unfamiliar faces. No?
No intro. No intro for her, but...
Is there anybody else? No, Larry's mom is here.
All right. Today we're going to hear from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them up to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. It'll also be projected on the screen here. Luke 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, they being the women, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. Pray with me real quick. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word is true, that it is real, that it is living, that it applies to us even today, thousands of years after Jesus' death and resurrection. Father, I pray that your spirit would give us understanding into your word, that you would challenge us, convict us, that we would not leave this room unchanged by your word, by who you are. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as most of you know, a few weeks ago, my grandma passed away, right? And I went home to take part in the funeral services and everything. So after the funeral service, we all went to the cemetery to bury my grandma. And I don't know if this is common up here, but with my family, we all try to buy, like, graves in the same cemetery, right? So a lot of my relatives are all buried in the cemetery. And so while we were there, after we buried my grandma, we went and we paid our respects to all my other relatives, my great-grandma, my grandpa. And it was actually something that I did when I was, like, young. Growing up, every April, we used to go and pay our respects to the dead, right? It's common in the Chinese culture. There's a holiday for it. So it's pretty common. Other cultures have it, too. If you know the Mexican culture, they have La Dia de la Muerte, the Day of the Dead, where the people put on masks, and it's a whole festival. In Muslims, in that religion, people make pilgrimages to Medina, which is where the burial place of the Prophet Muhammad is. But if you look at the Christian tradition, we don't really have anything like that. You don't see Christians traveling to Jerusalem to visit the tomb of Jesus Christ, to pay their respects to Jesus there. And you ever wonder why? You see, we know on Friday, on Good Friday, Jesus was crucified. And here in the West, I know that there is a tradition of passing out Easter eggs, right? We like to give them to kids to play around with. And I want you to pretend that this Easter egg is the tomb that Jesus was buried in, right? So I don't know if you can hear it, right? But Jesus was buried in the tomb. But after 3 days, these women, they went to the tomb and they looked inside and Jesus wasn't there. Right? Can I get a volunteer to come up? Yeah, Timothy. Come on up here. So I want you to open up this egg and tell me what's in the egg.
Cloth?
Right, so it's a cloth. Right, but how does a cloth make a noise? Right? All right, thank you, Timothy. You can sit down. I know that we often talk about the empty tomb, right? And it's accurate in a way where, yes, Jesus' body wasn't in the tomb, but I titled my message The Almost Empty Tomb because actually in the tomb there was a reminder. The linen cloths were left behind. Now what these linen cloths represent is that Jesus was 100% dead. You don't wrap up somebody in linen cloths and prepare their body if they're not dead. Like, you don't do that to a living person. But the reason that we don't go try to find Jesus' tomb is because it doesn't matter to us as Christians. It doesn't matter because Jesus is not dead. His bones, his decomposed body, it's not lying somewhere in Jerusalem. He's in heaven because he's alive. But that doesn't mean we can't pay our respects to him. In fact, every week that we come to church on Sunday, every time we worship, every time we sing songs, we listen to his word preached, we do pay our respects to him. We say, Jesus, you are worth me giving a couple hours on my Sunday morning to be with you and to be with other believers. So we pay our respects to Jesus by worshiping him, by praying to him. But we don't need to go and find where he was buried because he's not there. And so to take hold of the true meaning of Easter this year, we need to remember and believe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is not dead, but very much alive. And this is one of the resurrection accounts in the Gospel of Luke. And if you've read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll know that it always starts with women visiting the tomb. And that's fascinating for a couple of reasons. The first one being, why is it women that are going to the tomb? Right? Jesus picked 12 disciples. Judas betrayed him, so Judas eventually fell out, so there were 11 disciples left. Why is it not any of the 11 disciples that are going to the tomb? They're the ones that Jesus gave first-hand account saying, I'm going to rise in 3 days. His disciples should have been keeping track of the days. I'm going to call out some of the youth here, not by name, but when we're in Sunday school and I'm teaching them in the youth Sunday school, they know it ends at 12 o'clock. And so there's some of them that'll be watching the clock, right? And it's like 11:50, oh, 10 minutes left. 11:55, oh, 5 minutes left. You know, 11:59, oh, there's 1 minute left. And then like as soon as it hits 12, right? If I'm not done, if I'm like mid-sentence, they'll be like, it's 12, like class should be over. Right? And God forbid I go like 5 minutes over. It's like, oh, you know, like we went 5 minutes over. Because they're like, I mean, as interesting as my Sunday school classes are, I know they have better things to do, so they're like looking forward to when it ends. Should not Jesus' disciples have been longing for that day? Like he had given them this amazing news. He's like, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again in 3 days. They should have been counting down the 3 days. It should have been like, okay, Friday's over. Saturday. Okay, Saturday is over. Sunday, it's the third day. Jesus should be alive. They should have been at the tomb waiting. But they weren't. Instead, some of the youth, we talked about it in Sunday school last week, they were hiding inside a house. They were hiding behind locked doors because they were scared of being found out by the Jewish authorities. And so it's the women who are the first witnesses to this amazing event in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we know, women didn't hold a lot of status back then. Even if a woman gave a testimony in court, if she testified against somebody, it didn't mean anything. The court wouldn't count it. But that's who Jesus chooses, or that's who God chooses to be the first witnesses of his resurrection and to bring that news to others. And this isn't uncommon for God. If you remember when he was born, when Jesus came into the world and was born a baby, the first witnesses to that were shepherds. Very, very lowly profession. God chooses the unexpected, the humble, the lowly, the weak. And he entrusts them with all important messages. And so I don't want you to be sitting out there thinking, God could never use me. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough at sports. I'm not good enough at the piano. I'm not popular enough. No. It's precisely those of us who are humble, who are weak, that God comes to and says, let me show you what I can do through you. And he does through these women. They're met by angels. And we're going to look at what the angels said to them. The angels, they said, why do you seek the living among the dead? It's pretty obvious, right? You don't go looking for living people at a cemetery, right? If you were to play hide and seek with a friend, the first place you would look wouldn't be at a cemetery. You wouldn't be digging up graves looking for your friend in the ground, because that's not where your friend is. So the angels are saying, why are you here? Why are you inside a tomb looking for someone who's living? A living person would not choose to spend their time in a tomb. And then they entrust the women with a message. But it's not a new message, because the key word that the angels tell the women is remember. So they say, he is not here, but he is risen. This is verse 6. And then they say, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. Remember how he told you. The women forgot. The women forgot that Jesus had told his disciples and those around him that he was going to rise again. And in a sense, it's understandable. They went through about 3 years of Jesus' teaching to see this person that they loved so much all of a sudden nailed to a cross, hanging there, shamed, bloody, naked. It's understandable that they were shaken. You know, they were grieving, they were mourning, they were full of sadness. And when someone close to us dies, we feel a sense of loss. We feel pain. And it's not until maybe a few days later that we can really start remembering their life. And that's probably what happened to the women. It's what happened to the disciples. In their moments of grieving, they forgot what Jesus had told them. But the angels, their message is, remember. And it's not remember all the miracles that Jesus performed. It's not remember all of the signs or all of the teachings. No, they tell them just to remember these words. Remember the words that Jesus spoke to you. They could have pointed out thousands of examples how Jesus healed sick people, how he fed 5,000 people. how he even raised people from the dead. And all of those examples would have pointed to Jesus' power. And if he could do all of those things, then surely rising from the dead would be something else that he could do. But they forgot. They forgot that he was going to be raised from the dead. So they didn't even think of his power at that point. But the angels that are here to give the message, a message for the women, a message for us, remember what Jesus said. But that's not all there is to it. We can't just simply remember the words. We have some Bible quizzers out there. They spend a lot of time memorizing the words of the Bible. But it's not enough just to know what the Bible says. The more important thing is, do we believe? You know, there's an interesting documentary I made a few years ago. I'm not too familiar with it, but I think it was a professor who really honestly believes that the Holocaust never happened. I think it's a, is it a she or a he? They think it's just, they think it was fabricated, it was made up. So we can remember, we can hear these things about the resurrection of Jesus, how he came back from the dead, but if we don't believe it, it's actually meaningless. Verse 11 in Luke chapter 24 tells us that the disciples, when they heard from the women, they didn't actually believe them. These are Jesus' closest followers here, who upon hearing from women say, no, I don't, like, you're imagining things that couldn't have happened. There's no way. So the disciples, they're given an opportunity to remember. The women are like, remember the words of Jesus? He said he was going to rise again in 3 days. But they didn't believe. Do we actually believe? Peter, he ran to the tomb. And when he saw the linen cloths lying there in the tomb, he marveled at what happened. He was amazed that Jesus had risen from the dead. Peter is one of Jesus' closest disciples. Jesus would bring Peter along to almost everything. But it's this final miracle, it's this final sign that blows Peter's mind. He's standing there and he's amazed. The same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. He gets it when he gets to the tomb. He sees the linen cloths lying in the tomb, and he believes that Jesus rose from the dead. Over the past few weeks, I've tried to lead us through just the series of what it means to believe in the resurrection, to be prepared for new life. You know, God, he reconciles us to himself. He gives us fellowship with him so that we can have eternal life. And this reconciliation needed to be started by God because of our sin, and we looked at how serious sin was. We looked at Christ, how much he was worth to that woman who poured all of the ointment on his head. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at his blood, how much he wants to be a part of your life, how much he wants to give life to us. And all of those things, they're culminated in the resurrection. The resurrection is power. And do you believe the power that comes through it? Last week, Ruby's friend and her husband came to visit us. They were on their way to California, and they stopped by. both very, very smart people. They both have PhDs in the sciences. And her husband, his name is Josh, he's particularly science-minded. His way that his mind works, it's very scientifically based. So he loves figuring things out using reason, using logic, using evidence. And we had really good conversation together. And as I was preparing for this sermon, as I was thinking about the conversations that I had with him, I realized that if someone were to try to ask me, prove the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I don't think I could do it scientifically. Right? All I could say is just linen cloths in the tomb. You know, his body wasn't there. Like, how do you explain how a dead person comes back to life scientifically? How do you explain how a body, which its heart stops beating, how does that heart start again? Our bodies aren't like machines. They're not like computers where you can turn them off, turn them on. I can't explain it. But if you really believe in the creation story, if you remember the story of Genesis, of how God created humans, that he's the one who knows exactly how they work. And he was the one who gave us life in the first place, so if he can do it then, surely he can do it again. And if he can do that, if he can bring Jesus Christ and others in the Bible back to life from the dead, what is beyond him? You know, what can he not do for you? So brothers and sisters, remember. Remember the power and the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we remember the almost empty tomb, the linen cloths that remained after Jesus rose from the dead, let's marvel at that. Let's marvel as Peter did. Remember his power, remember his words, and let's live the lives that he wants for us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we know that you have raised Jesus from the dead. He is not dead, but he is alive, and hallelujah. Praise be to him who willingly gave up his life for us. And you have shown that you are greater than death. And so, God, I pray that in our lives we would remember, we would truly believe that you can and do act in our lives, that there is nothing beyond you. It could be as simple as helping us get our homework done, or helping us meet a deadline at work, or even giving us the words to say as we try to speak to our non-Christian friends. God, these are all things that you can do. You keep us safe as we drive, and keep us safe as we play sports, as we leave and go on vacations. God, I thank you that you look out for each and every one of us, that you love your creation, that the Bible tells us you know the number of hairs on our head. That's amazing. And so, God, I pray that this Easter we would really take hold of the resurrection power. To bring life back from the dead is no simple matter. It's no simple task. But you did it. God, you are worthy and you are powerful. God, may we worship you with all that we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.